Hi, this is Ms. Collins. Welcome back to the After Office Hours podcast. Before I get started with this episode, I just want to make a quick note about evaluations, and this podcast is about evaluations, but I am going to be giving 2 points extra credit to those who complete the evaluations for this course. And the way that I'm going to be able to do that, because they are anonymous, is that on a specified day, I'm not sure when that'll be yet. It will probably be when we return from Thanksgiving. Usually I do it on the last day of class. I will give you a QR code that you can just scan and complete the evaluation really quickly, and if you're there and you complete it, then I can give you credit for that. Now, if you do complete the evaluation before we do it in class, there are receipts that you can print from your evaluation screen that tell me that you have completed it, that show me that you have submitted that evaluation, because it'll show up as complete on your form. But I will be offering 2 points, and this 2 points will go on your overall participation grade for the class. So I know that seems like a minimal thing, but that participation grade, remember, counts 10% of the grade, so 2 points could be a big boost for you, especially if you're in between 2 grades. But that's the incentive that I will give for completing the evaluations, and so I'll talk more about that in class, especially when we come back from Thanksgiving. But just know that if you do complete an evaluation for me for the class, you will receive 2 points on your participation grade, and this is for all classes, so no matter what class of mine you're in, that's the incentive that you give. Also, listen out in your other classes, because a lot of professors do give extra credit. There's kind of a divided opinion about whether we should or should not do that, but a lot of professors do give extra credit for filling out evaluations. So if they've told you they do, then take them up on that. If they haven't said anything about it, ask them to see if they'll give you a point or two on your grade. The worst they can do is say no, but just remember that moving forward, that you will get an incentive for filling out the evaluation for me. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the After Office Hours podcast. It is almost Thanksgiving break. We have 2 days this week, so hang in there. I know you've got a lot going on and you're overwhelmed and stressed, and I am the same, so we will make it through. We are almost done with the semester, so just keep hanging in there. But what I want to talk to you about today is evaluations of your professors. So the time where all power is put into your hands, you can evaluate the performance of your professors for the semester anonymously and face no repercussions for it. So I know that you are just ready to give your honest opinion about how you thought your professors did in your classes this semester, and that's great. But I want to make sure that you are doing that productively, not only to give your professors honest feedback on which they can improve, but also to make sure that your voice is heard, because you need to be mindful of how you are critiquing your professors so that they know what you need them to improve on, and so that you are actually taken seriously. So I was a student before, and I have dogged my professor so many times about how well they did or how poorly I thought that they did, but I take it seriously as a responsibility of mine, especially as an English instructor, to tell you how to structure effective feedback so that it is taken seriously and you can express your opinion, but so that it is done with support and justification for your point of view, just like we write our papers in class. And so that's what I'm going to be talking to you about today on this podcast. So the first suggestion that I have for you when you are giving feedback about your professors is to give supporting evidence and details for your claims, for your views. So just as we tell you in class to give a supporting source for your claims about the causes and effects of an issue and to explain that further with analysis, the same thing goes for feedback. So I've been on both sides of this. I am a teacher and I have been evaluated by students for years now, and I've also been a student who has filled out evaluations for professors. So I can tell you that on the student side of it, I identify with you in how frustrating it is when you have a professor that you don't feel like has done a good job, or you don't feel like is invested in you, or you just don't feel like you connected with. And being able to have that power to evaluate that person, you really want to just let loose on them and kind of tear into them. And I get that, and I've done that in the past. But I can tell you that from a professor side of it, not only is it just gut-wrenching when you get negative feedback anyway, but when you get negative feedback that has no justification for what it is that student's claiming, it's even worse because you don't know what to improve on. You're just bitter rather than forward focused and, you know, planning on improving on that in the future. And also from a professor standpoint, I can tell you that those types of claims, those outlandish claims where she didn't teach us anything, she wasn't prepared, she should never be teaching again, those aren't taken seriously because of the lack of justification. So giving a review that says she didn't teach, she was never prepared, that's one thing. But when you say that I felt like the lessons were lacking in content, I felt like we didn't receive handouts or supplemental information that helped us understand the concepts, or I feel like the professor canceled class a lot and we missed a lot of opportunities to gain information that was necessary for completing assignments, those types of things, they're tough to read, but you at least have some justification for what it is that that person needs to improve on in the future. Because if I read that, I say, okay, I need to give a couple more handouts. I need to expand my lesson plans. I need to make sure that my personal life is in order so that I'm able to hold the classes at the times they meet and I'm not having to make adjustments last minute or throw the students off of their schedule. That's easy to improve on, but if you just tell me was never prepared, then I don't have a clue what you mean by that, especially if I'm a person who is prepared. If I feel like I was preparing, you just tell me I wasn't prepared, then I don't have a clue what I need to improve on or what came across versus what I intended on coming across. So just make sure that you're giving some justifications. And the thing is this goes for positive feedback too, because it's great to hear, I like this professor, I like you as a professor, I thought you did a good job. But if you don't tell me what I did, then I'm not really sure which things that I should amp up more. So I kind of, me personally as a professor, I can course correct over semester. I can figure out what's working for students and what's not, and then decide what I want to change and things like that. But it's still helpful to know what it is that people liked versus what they didn't like, because some people will give me direct feedback and some people won't. So in a way, the anonymous aspect of the reviews is great because you can kind of give feedback and suggestions in a low-key environment. You don't have to talk in front of other people. You don't have to talk directly to me if you feel uncomfortable with confrontation like that. There's just a lot of opportunities to interact with somebody in a non-face-to-face way. So even if you're giving positive feedback, also give some concrete suggestions for moving forward. So just make sure that you're taking the time to do that. Another suggestion that I have for you when you are assessing the strengths and weaknesses of your professors is to consider the source. And what I mean by that is, are you basing your evaluation on a consistent pattern of behavior, or are you frustrated with one or two days? So if there was a day that your professor seemed less prepared, but most days they had everything together, assume that that was an off day. So everybody's human, us included, and so there are days when things are going wrong with us. You have professors who have children that might be sick at home. You have professors who have family members who have passed away or family members who are not doing well. You have professors that are being paid only four times a semester who are not being paid in the month of August and then in the month of January when that comes around. So consider that your professors have a lot going on and that they're going to have one or two off days. Also consider that teaching is difficult. Teaching is trial and error. And so sometimes you end up being the guinea pig class for a brand new assignment or a brand new assessment. So for example, I feel like my English 103 class, I didn't do as good a job as I would like to teaching Above the Waterfall, the novel. But when I taught it to the 102 class, I felt like I had a little bit more material prepared, and a lot of that was because this was the first semester that we've taught that novel. So I was doing trial and error, trial runs. I was trying out lesson plans and trying out discussion patterns to see which one would be most effective for that class. And then something else to consider is that some classes respond better to certain topics and certain lesson plans than others do. So by all means, if you saw a consistent pattern of whatever with your professor, whether it was good or bad, do comment on that, but consider that if they had one or two bad days, cut them some slack. And I don't mean, again, just for my sake, but for anybody's sake, because there are constantly things going on with people. And just as you have personal issues that come up with you as a student, we do too. And so I ask you to consider that too when you're evaluating. Is this based on a consistent pattern of behavior, or did this just happen one or two times on one or two off days? So just make sure you're considering the source. The next suggestion I have for you is to ask your professors directly if there's anything that they would like feedback on their evaluations. That shows them that you do care about evaluations and shows them that you are invested in their improvement. And that kind of lessens the sting a little bit if there is something that you are planning on critiquing them on the feedback. And so some professors will tell you directly if there's things that they want feedback on, and some of them aren't even prepared to have that conversation with you, and so you might want to initiate that conversation. So for me, I've told a lot of my classes lately, especially the 101 and the 103 classes, to give me some feedback on which type of peer review you prefer. So we have done a traditional peer review where you're evaluating a full draft, and then we've also been doing roundtable peer reviews where you prepare a small portion of material to share with the class, like your thesis and some of your supporting details. And I noticed personally that the roundtables are much better. They have a higher participation rate and they produce better conversation than when we're just reading drafts. But then again, I understand that we might need actually a combination of both, because reading a full draft is a little bit better sometimes for a standard essay, like a comparison or a cause and effect, where you're not really taking a strong point of view on an issue so much as you were just evaluating different things and making some kind of decision. So that's something that I definitely would like feedback on, as to which type of peer review you guys think works best for the class. Same thing with 102. 102 relies heavily on different types of discussion activities. So I do some standard activities where I stand in front of the classroom and take notes on the board and we have a conversation as a class. And then, as you guys on 102 know, there are some other activities where we go out in the hallway, we do speed dating exercises, we do different types of groups and moving around. And so you can let me know which ones you liked best, so I know which ones to do better for next semester, or to do more of for next semester, because I try out just about everything I have in my wheelhouse to see what's going to work best for the class and help you retain the material the most. So ask your professors if there's anything that they want feedback directly on, and you probably have something prepared that you can give them for that. The final thing I'll leave you with is sort of a suggestion and is sort of a reflection from me on some of the things that I'm already planning on modifying or changing or improving for next semester. So that being said, the suggestion I have is to assume that your professors are very much aware of the things that are working and are not working and already have plans to improve those. And so that's another reason that ties back into the first suggestion about making sure you're giving justification for what it is they need to work on. So not only giving criticism and giving feedback, but giving explanations as to why you feel that way. So one of the things I am especially going to be changing is the way that I assign grades. And so previously, in previous semesters, I got suggestions from students that they would like to have a clearer way to keep up with their grades, because they were essentially just waiting on me to put them on Blackboard. So I came up with the grade tracker sheet, which you've seen this semester, and you notice that it's extremely detailed and it contains the formulas. But the downside to it is that because I've pre-planned all those activities for what we might cover, and because all students are different and the paces of classes go differently, and there are some things that I have to add and take away, it's sometimes a little bit difficult to keep track of the participation grade that way. So, in the future, I'm going to modify classwork and participation grades to where each unit, so whether it's comparison or cause effect, or for 102, whether it's short fiction or the novel, for each unit, I'm going to have a participation grade, a quiz grade, and whatever other lecture material that I'm providing, that'll be it. So when those students put their information into their grade tracker sheets, they'll have, here's my classwork grade for this unit, here's my quiz grade for this unit. And all that. It's just a lot simpler to keep up with, and it keeps me from having to modify the names of certain assignments or to tell you what to put on there or take away. Another thing too is that I had stopped putting grades on Blackboard because I felt like it was double duty for me keeping up with grade sheets and keeping up with Blackboard, but I find that students just use Blackboard more, and I have since figured out how to modify Blackboard and the grade book and the formulas and the rubrics to be able to adjust to the way that I calculate grades. So in the future, I'm also going to be keeping grades on Blackboard at all times. And so you notice that mid-semester I started doing that again because it was important to me that you knew exactly what your grades were and that you knew how that percentage was being calculated. So I changed that in mid-semester, and I'm going to change that for next semester. I'm going to be using this is a minor thing, but it matters to me. I'm going to be using the same PowerPoint template for all of my slides because I find that I just like a cleaner design. And so I've been kind of testing out different designs this semester. So in the future, I'm going to have a consistent PowerPoint slide for each lesson so that it's easier to keep track of lecture material. So there's a lot of big and small things that I've already started working on for improvement in the future. So if there's things that you have suggestions for, give me concrete details because there's a chance that I've already got something in mind as to how I'm going to improve it. That's all for this brief, a little bit unusual episode of the After Office Hours podcast, but I hope that I gave you some useful information to consider as you complete your evaluations of your professors. But regardless of whether you take these things into consideration or not, make sure you fill them out. So I know that a lot of students will put evaluations on Rate My Professors because that's what a lot of other students look at, and other students can't see the feedback that you give professors for the college, but the college is not going to take Rate My Professors into consideration. So if you've got a professor that you either like or you don't like and you haven't seen any movement from the college, that's why. So unless you put that feedback on the actual evaluation sent out by the college, they're not going to take those things into consideration. So Rate My Professors is great, and a lot of students use it, and we can't lie to you and say as professors that we don't look at it or we don't look at their ratings for other professors that we work with. But from an administrative standpoint, that's not what's going to get some action taken in the classroom or at the college. It's going to be the ones that you fill out for the college. So do just make sure that you fill them out. You will get notifications over email. You should have already got one actually, because those evaluations are already open, about how to fill those out. But if you're not sure, you can just ask. We also have QR codes, and I'll be using those. So you can just scan the QR code and it takes you right to the evaluation for your professor. But just make sure that you complete them out. We really appreciate it. And we do try to get a high percentage response rate to show that we actually did address it in class and did express that we really appreciate and need the feedback to improve our performance and to improve the quality of education at the college as a whole. So I do hope that you will at least fill them out, whether you actually write out feedback or you just click the ratings for the evaluations. Just make sure that you give that feedback and let somebody know what it is that you like or don't like about the experience you had in their class this semester.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.